And now to political developments in the oil-rich Andean nation of Ecuador, where amid violent protests, Ecuadorians toppled the presidency of Lucio Gutierrez. Yesterday, Gutierrez escaped into exile, and he was granted asylum by Brazil. He is the third Ecuadorian president to be ousted in the past 8 years. Here to talk about the political situation in Ecuador is Arturo Valenzuela. He's the director of the Center for Latin American Studies at Georgetown University. And Professor Valenzuela, welcome to Day to Day.
My pleasure to be with you.
So when elected a few years ago in 2002, Gutierrez had a lot of support from the poor. What happened?
Yes, well, he actually was particularly popular because he had participated in a social movement that was led by indigenous forces that overthrew the previous president of Ecuador. And when he had a chance, of course, he ran for president, and he garnered significant support from those very sectors who expected him to produce miracles. And, of course, this is very, very difficult. One of the real challenges that all of these presidents have is that there's almost too much of a fixation, not only in Ecuador but in Latin America, on the president as the person, the single force that's going to be able to solve the problems of the country.
Contrast him, if you will, to Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, who is also the president of an oil-rich nation, but who is very popular with the poor.
In Venezuela, you really had a collapse of traditional parties and the emergence of a different force, the one that was led by Chavez, with strong, strong majority support, has majorities in the National Assembly. That's very different from the situation in Ecuador and for most Latin American presidents, not just Ecuador. There's sort of a myth about the strong man Latin American president. The problem is that in most countries, presidents are too weak. They have very little support. And Gutierrez, even though he captured the imagination of the poor, really did not have a majority support in the Congress at all. And that's why he was constantly struggling to cobble together some kind of a support base and didn't succeed in doing that. And when he did, his allies asked him to shut down the Supreme Court. He did that, and that was, in a sense, the first step, an unconstitutional step that he took that then, of course, led to what I think and what most observers would agree is also an unconstitutional removal of him from office.
Well, if most Latin American nations have a relatively weak presidency, is it time for them to rethink that model?
Well, I really think so. I think that there's a perverse logic to presidential systems where presidents don't have majorities in the Congress. What happens is that the parties of the opposition that may have majorities in the Congress see it in their benefit to try to make the president, in fact, fail, because that way they think that they will be able to get the presidency the next time around. And this is really a very, 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 it's a perverse logic of confrontation instead of cooperation. And that's why I think Latin American countries ought to really seriously think about moving to a parliamentary model. We saw this week, for example, that in Italy, Berlusconi, despite the fact that he's a very, you know, prominent, the longest-lasting prime minister in Italy, nevertheless, because he lost municipal elections, tendered his resignation, he's going to have to call new elections. Well, in a presidential system, there is no safety valve like that. The president can't say, hey, I don't have a majority now in the Congress, I can't get anywhere, the opposition wants me to leave, can I call new elections or should I resign? Whenever there's a crisis like that, it goes from being a crisis of government to being a crisis of regime. In a parlamentary system, you have a crisis of government, the government goes, and you don't have a crisis of the institutions themselves.
Arturo Valenzuela is the director of the Center for Latin American Studies at Georgetown University, and thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.